Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday, coming off a very historic Wednesday night at Crypto.com Arena, Staples Center, and I could think of no two better people to have on the show today than the Sporting Tribune's Grant Mona and G. Hay Wiley. Grant, I'm going to start with you first, my friend. We were texting throughout the game, and you were a pro's pro. You had this moment in the fourth quarter where you're like, I don't know if I want to do this show tomorrow. But thankfully, you are here. But before I go to G. Hay, and I've talked to G. Hay about her fandom and just always expecting the worst. All right, so Grant, the Clippers are up by 21 points on the Lakers. Things are rocking and rolling. It's a Clippers home game. They've been a very good home game. What was the moment, my friend? And I'm burying the lead for those who don't know, and I don't know how you win at this point in time one day later. Are the Lakers coming back from 21 points last night in the last game that they will be the road team, at least in the regular season. We'll see in the postseason. But they came back from 21 points down. LeBron James outscored the Clippers by himself in the fourth quarter. Amazing stat that I don't know. I just was surprised by. This is the first time in over 20 years. 20 years. You have to go back to 2003, back when they had Shaq and Kobe, I believe, that they came back from 20 or more points down in the fourth quarter. So a very historic last game between the Lakers and Clippers at Crypto.com Arena, at least where the Clippers are the home team. Grant, as you're watching that unfold, what was the moment where you're like, oh boy, here we go again?
Rosh, we talked about this before the show, but my father and I are, it's a very weird dynamic. He's a Laker fan, I'm a Clipper fan, and every time that he says it's over, I know that it's not over. And not just that. So that's that part of it. If I'm watching, if I'm going basketball terms, the minutes that I saw the Clippers open up the fourth quarter with a lineup of Daniel Tice, PJ Tucker, and Russell Westbrook, or excuse me, it was Plumlee. I knew that we were in for a disaster class. listen, that lineup just never works. The spacing never works. You can have two superheroes out there with those three, and it's just not going to work. For the Clippers, Arash, you and I have talked about this a lot. Jihei, you know how I feel about it. The Clippers are playing horrible basketball right now. I know that you're going to look at the first three quarters and say, oh, well, they played a great game. Arash, I've been saying this for so long, is that the process of by which they're playing is just not championship quality. It's not top four quality. It is more like play-in quality. Turnovers, lazy defense, bad transition defense. Down the stretch, it looked like the Clippers have never played with each other ever. And that's just not something that championship teams do. You saw what championship players do. The Lakers down the stretch executed. They knew LeBron knew exactly who he wanted. He wanted Daniel Tice in a switch and he wanted James Harden in a switch. And he got his matchup every single time. That is what championship players do. And that's what championship teams do. And I know that the Lakers, you're going to look at the standings and say, oh, well, they're not a championship team. They went to the Western Conference Finals last year for a reason. Mm-hmm. This Lakers team last year, that core that was on the court, Rui, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, and AD, those are guys that have been there, done that in the playoffs when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. And they showed why. Terrence Mann has never been in a finals-type scenario. The guys that the Clippers had out there, sure, individually they may have gotten to a conference finals, but together this group has never done it. And, you know, you could say it's a huge collapse, this and that, but this has been a process that has been going on for a while now for the Clippers. And, Jihei, I'm going to speak for both of us as Clipper fans, is that you can tell in my tone that am I surprised? Not really. Am I shocked? Not really. I've seen them do it in the playoffs. I've seen them do it in the regular season. It is very disappointing, obviously. This is a game that they should have won and that they kind of had to win if you're looking at their upcoming schedule. But I got to give credit to the Lakers because the Lakers were down 19 in the fourth. They never backed down. They never gave up. They kept chugging. They kept scoring. They kept giving it to LeBron, and LeBron made his shots. So that's what championship caliber cores do. That's what guys that have been there, done that do. And they did it to the Clippers. The Clippers got a lot of soul searching to do right now because their schedule is unforgiving coming up.
GK, we talked about this, right? Like when you're watching that unfold, I mean, are you just thinking, here we go again? Or again, you've seen this play out time and time again, but man, 21 points in the fourth quarter.
I was thinking, is Doc Rivers our coach again? Like what just happened? What just happened to that 20-point lead, 19-point lead? You know what? LeBron said it best in his post-game interview with Sedano. He basically said, you know what, the game ain't over till it hits 0-0-0-0. And that's unfortunately just last night what Clipper Nation didn't do. You know, they didn't play till the bitter end. And it was just kind of disappointing. And Grant's right, man, like LeBron got those switch ups real quick on Norman Powell. So he was able to do whatever the heck he wanted to, right? On those switches. So it was disappointing. I'm hoping that they learn from this real fast. I'm also hoping, you know, that the coaching staff learns real quick that, you know, never count those guys out, especially since like LeBron plays for certain things and he will always play for certain things, right? He's going for 40,000 points in the next two games that he's going to be playing for. He's, you know, he's also he knows the Laker culture. He's trying to go for that playoff run as well. He knows what they have to do in order to get there. You know, players that are playing for something are really, really dangerous. And then tack on the fact that this is LeBron's change, right? Yeah. Like this is one of the most talented NBA players on the planet. So I just, you know, I hope that the coaching staff makes a little bit of a change. Like Graham said, I mean, I wasn't like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Quarter one through three, I was like, I was watching, but not really. I was like looking at my phone and then watching and looking at my phone and then watching. I'm really disappointed that I missed the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Miami reunion for this game.
I was you should have watched that, GA.
Seriously, seriously, I was just really disappointed. So it's just, you know, I mean, that's what TiVo's for, I guess, or, you know, recording it is for. But I was just really disappointed, you know. But at the same time, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't entirely surprised, which is really sad. And I hate this narrative, too, for the Clippers. Like, I'm waiting for something to change. Let's hope it's, you know, next season where every game is a game where you're expecting them to win. You know, like, I was hoping for more of a Duke kind of culture to come out of this team where, I mean, they're starting, our starting five, I shouldn't say ours, I'm not on the team, but like, the Clippers starting five and their backup five are better than those, than the starting five for the Lakers, in my personal opinion. I know that's bold for a lot of people to say, because I know there's LeBron and AD, but if you look at how those guys play against one another, they're better. They're just better. They just need to come together and figure it out. Like, I don't, on paper, they're just better. So this was disappointing, but again, not shocking, which is unfortunate.
Listen, I mean, there's no doubt about it. They are one of, if not the most talented teams on paper. And GA, we've kind of joked about that, like on paper and how will that play out on the court. Grant, before we talk about the struggles with the Clippers, I mean, this wasn't exactly the lineup that you've been hoping for, or at least you and Brandon, who will join us in the next segment. Again, Jared Vanderbilt is not healthy right now, but it was that core four at least that really propelled this team to the Western Conference Finals. Two of those pieces came over following the trade deadline, where, again, you have like the big two, at least, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Austin Reaves, who, you know, Team USA, you know, perhaps number three. But then Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell. Rui with that big three, corner three, and then followed that up with a two, you know, big five straight points there to help the Lakers get the win. What can a comeback win like this do for the Lakers? And again, with that sort of core five that really propelled them at the end of last season, when, again, Grant, they were in such a precarious position following the break where they were the number 13 seed. They were below 500. We were talking at the time, like, can they, like, even sneak into the play-in tournament? That's not even a question. I mean, like, the one thing that I talked about following the game, the Lakers are now just three games back of the five seed. And I think, listen, as a basketball fan, the one thing that you can hope for is that for the first time and the last time, we would get a hallway series. We would get a number four versus number five matchup between the Lakers and the Clippers. I mean, so, listen, the question is not if they can sneak into the play-in tournament now. It's, you know, can they get, like, out of the play-in tournament? First, focus on the Lakers. What can a win like this do for that team?
Oh, a ton, especially when you do it against a contending team. Well, in my opinion, they were contenders, but, you know, against a very good Clippers team. This core, Arash, I've said to you plenty of times, is that this core, we know that it can get done. We know that they can do it in the playoffs when it matters. We know that Rui Hachimura shows up. We know that D'Angelo Russell at times can carry an offense in the playoffs. The Lakers went back to their roots, right? Give the ball to LeBron and get out of the way. That's usually what works with the Lakers. And when you have guys around LeBron, like D'Angelo Russell, like Rui Hachimura, and I know Vanderbilt's not in there, he's hurt right now, but when you have him out there, it's just such a complete roster. It's just such a complete lineup when everyone's healthy and playing. And this is why I've been clamoring for them to play this lineup more, as much as possible, is because I know it works, and we saw that it works again. This also, for me, would give me confidence that if I see a Lakers team against the Clippers in the playoffs, if I see them against anybody in the playoffs, and they have that lineup that I just saw do that in the fourth quarter, I have the utmost confidence that the Lakers can win a basketball game, even when they're down. Yeah. So it doesn't just do a lot, you know, in terms of basketball, but mentality-wise, confidence-wise, it gives them the confidence to say, hey, I don't care how much we're down by. We just beat the number four seed in the West after being down by 20 plus points in the fourth quarter. So it instills confidence, not just in that core, but in the guys around them too. Because now you can go into any matchup and say, hey, we did it already. We did it last year in the playoffs, and we just did it again. And in the second half of the season, Arash, momentum matters so much. Going into the playoffs and getting on a run going in, that matters. You need key wins like this. I know they're going to say it was at Crypto.com Arena. You're at a road game. There were a lot of Clipper fans there, by what I heard. So doing this in that environment with that type of team that you're playing against, it's huge. It's huge for them.
But the Lakers outscored the Clippers 39-16 in the fourth quarter. LeBron James by himself outscored the Clippers 19-16. Can the Lakers kind of use this comeback win, turning point for them? Again, right now they're the number 9 seed, three games back of that 5-6 seed. That's big, obviously, because you're no longer in that play-in tournament. How does a victory like this help them as they close out the season?
Oh, it helps them a lot, Arash. It helps them a lot. I think, to Grant's point, momentum. I'm a huge factor of momentum, going into any playoff series, going into any contention to get into the playoffs as well. I used to get a lot of examples, but we just got a double bye because we just beat Louisville last night at Cameron. And I don't want that double bye, right? I don't think even the Lakers would like, I mean, maybe they'd like a little bit of rest, but they wouldn't want, you know, a complete rest because of being able to carry on that momentum. I'm sure they're going into that locker room fired up right now, right? They're super excited. They're pumped. They're like, you know, guys, if we can beat this team who's number 4 in the West, we can beat anybody, right? Like you're kind of on a natural high right now. Like that's what winning does for people, for anybody in general, right? Winning is great. Winning's awesome. So, I think as far as this is concerned, they'll definitely be more of a motivating, I would be motivated. And I would assume that the Lakers would also be motivated, and it instills your confidence in guys like Rui Hachimura, in guys, you know, that are, you know, here and there, your starters and, you know, get ample playing time. I mean, LeBron could be LeBron. He's going to get his. But you want those other guys to be on that level with you, right? You want those other guys to be like, hey, you know, guys, like I can do it myself, but I don't want to do it myself. You know, like it's your time to like, here's the ball, like score 19 for us. Here's the ball, like, you know, get four blocks this game or whatever the case may be, right? Get our boards and stuff like that for us and step up. And so I think that this game may be, it could be possible game changer for them to obtain this playoff spot, right, and get higher in the rankings for them as well, a little bit of motivation.
Grant, you've touched on this, but the Clippers have just simply been in a funk since February 7th when they lost at home to the New Orleans Pelicans. Since then, if I could just, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. And now, for the first time, they don't follow up a loss with a win. They have back-to-back losses. So again, below 500 during that stretch there. And again, you've told me, you know, and we've talked about their struggles with the Pelicans. Why was that a turning point, and how can they fix things?
I just think that, Arash, when teams start to figure you out, and when teams start to look, the Clippers had a great run in December and January because teams thought they figured them out, but they really didn't, right? The Clippers kind of just went on this insane run where nobody had an answer. Now teams are starting to kind of figure out what the Clippers try to do and what they're going to do on possession by possession. So they know that James Harden's going to try to draw contact. They know that he's going to try to do a pick and roll. They know that they're going to try to go to Kawhi almost every possession and try to post him up. And with Russ, they're just going to give him space. I mean, I know I'm saying this because I watch the team all the time, but this is how teams scout the Clippers now. Yeah. And what I'm seeing is not just a lack of execution. It's not just a lack of focus and mentality by the Clippers. It's the other team, the opposing team, just scouting them better and playing them better. Teams now have a basically 4-month scouting report on the Clippers and how they play. So what that does now is that Ty Lue and the Clippers have to say, okay, they kind of figured us out in these ways. Now we got to adjust ourselves. And I just haven't seen that yet. The Clippers are playing the same exact basketball that they did in December and January. And that can be a good thing. But now that teams are starting to figure you out, you have to adjust back. You have to try different things. And that's why you're seeing PJ Tucker in a lineup with Russell Westbrook and Plumlee. That's why you're seeing these types of weird lineups that you didn't see, is because now teams have kind of adjusted. And So the Clippers, like, you're going to play size again. I said this again, Arash, you know this. I said that the Lakers give them problems, the Pelicans, the Nuggets, the Thunder, all these teams. And look at all those teams I just mentioned.
That's a lot of teams, Grant. You know, if you were
exactly.
If you just said like one team, like the Denver Nuggets give us problems, and it's like, yeah, of course, they're the defending champions. Hopefully you don't face them until the conference finals, but you just listed off, and again, we've talked about this, but you know, Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, LA, I mean, you basically
all playoff teams. All playoff teams. So, go ahead, GA.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I was just going to say, this wasn't my question, but size is always going to be an issue. It's always going to be a factor for the Clippers, I think, in general, just because I'm not saying they're small, but when you compare them to OKC, when you compare them to, they're tiny in comparison to those said teams. They're small. They just are. They're going to run small. My question was, and again, this going back to that point, though, I think that this is on their scouting team, right? This is on your scouting team. They just need to do a better job of, you know, figuring out ways that you guys get that the Clippers can make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. My question to both of you actually is, Russell getting taken out towards the end, I believe 5 fouls, right? Mm-hmm. That Russ had. Why if he was doing such a good job? It's like you basically were like, he's fouled out, let's just rest him, it's fine. You have one more foul for him, so why not keep him in that game? Could he have been maybe the difference maker and helped out a little bit?
Jihei, that's a great point, and I think it boils down to the Clippers, like you just mentioned, they're not adjusting. So if you see Russell Westbrook playing well and diving after loose balls and giving it his all, and you take him out because the analytics or your stats in the past 10 games say to do so, that's not good coaching, right? You have to adapt to the flow of the game. That's why the best coaches leave the guys in that are doing the best job. It's not just because, oh, this lineup closes well. No, if a guy's playing well, I'm going to leave him in. If a guy's playing bad, I'm going to take him out. There are a lot of coaching errors in this game, and that some that I haven't seen from Ty Lue in a long time, but it is a little bit concerning now. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about the process that the Clippers are putting out there.
Yeah. I mean,
Arash, would you have?
No, I mean,
I'm sorry, Arash, would you have put him in?
No, yeah, I definitely would have kept him in. I mean, because basically what you're doing at that point is you're forcing the official to make like a tough foul call there, and hopefully, yeah, like the officials know that he has 5 fouls. So I trust Russ to be smart. I trust sort of the official in the fourth quarter to swallow their whistle. So we'll see. but I do love that it was a classic game. I mean, obviously, as a Lakers fan, I do love the final result. But I know, sorry. But beyond that, I did love that it was a classic. And, for many, many years prior to the Chris Paul trade, and even to be honest, like after the Chris Paul trade, like the Lakers and Clippers have not been good at the same time. And we missed out on them. If they played in the postseason in the bubble in Orlando, it would not have mattered. So pulling for a hallway series. All right, let's leave it there for now. We're going to bring in Brandon Deutsch to give us his thoughts on the game. And we'll talk about a few more things. And I want to get GA's thoughts on court storming. All right, we'll leave it there for now, and we'll be back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right. We were talking a lot about the Lakers' historic comeback last night at Crypto.com Arena. It will be, at least in the regular season, their last time being the road team as the Clippers are the home team. But we'll see if we get that hallway series that has eluded us all these years. Let's welcome back Grant Mona, G. Hay Wiley, and also welcome in Brandon Deutsch from the Sporting Tribune. Brandon, we've heard from Grant. We've heard from G. Hay. I think you can assume how they're feeling as longtime Clippers fans. Brandon, okay. We're on the text exchange, so I knew how you were feeling when the Lakers were down 21 points in the fourth quarter. You were, however, very complimentary post game on Twitter. We don't deserve what we're seeing from LeBron James at 39 years old. Your thoughts on what you saw LeBron and the Lakers do last night?
You know, it's impressive because it's not just him at 39 years old. How many times have we ever seen that by anybody? And he's doing it at 39 years old. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, has had a great year. Like, we're just kind of glossing over, you know, 25, 7, and 8. Cool. You know, we kind of were putting him to the side. This is Anthony Davis's team. And the team was awful. D'Angelo Russell was, you know, missing, airballing threes. Austin Reeves, they're down 20. Dinwiddie looked like he didn't know where he was. You know, and then at the end, Torian Prince, I mean, don't get me started on his performance as of late. But then LeBron James out of nowhere takes over. And for a team like the Clippers without Paul George, I don't think, you know, we're not taking that into consideration. And all of a sudden, when they stopped hitting shots and LeBron started hitting shots, they felt it. They got scared, the Clippers. You could see, like, you could see it in their possessions. And they're a very ISO dominant team, regardless, with Kawhi Leonard and guys like that. Like, you take the ball, you know, James Harden, you take the ball. And when it's not working, you know, after they start missing some shots, it gets to their head. It's happened all season. And, you know, that's something they're going to have to work on. But the Lakers, best win of the year for them. I mean, they were dead in the water, really a game they needed to win after not winning against Phoenix. A couple of tough losses, you know, one against Golden State as well. And at the end of the day, this was an excellent win for the Lakers. LeBron James outscored the Clippers in the fourth.
Brandon, one more for you. I mean, that core group that you have talked about, again, Jared Vanderbilt's not healthy right now. But when you looked at that comeback in the fourth quarter and I looked at the floor, and it's LeBron James, it's Anthony Davis, It's Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell, big plays by both D'Angelo and Rui late in the game. I mean, this was the group that helped them go from the 13th seed and below 500 following the break to the Western Conference Finals. Can this team go on a similar run this season?
Yeah, I want to say yes. I'm going to say no at this point. As crazy as it sounds, you know, because this is a huge win. And it's just because the West is so much better this time around than last year. It's getting to the point where Oklahoma City, I'm starting to respect. Minnesota, I'm starting to respect. I'm like, okay, yeah, they could beat them in a series. But that's if you get in. I mean, you still have to go through the Warriors in the play-in at this point and other good teams. So at the end of the day, you know, do they have the talent? Of course, they have LeBron James. I'm never going to count them out. Him and Steph Curry, it's like the Chiefs. You can never count them out, okay? But at the end of the day, this team has glaring issues. Defensively, they keep giving up 70 points in the first half every game. It seems like every game. They're 26 in defensive rating over the past 3 weeks. They won't survive if they don't get the defense figured out, and they likely won't until Vanderbilt and Vincent come back, which could be never. So if they have Vincent and Vanderbilt back and everyone's healthy and they're the 7 or 8 seed, okay, then I'm confident that they can win a series or two, probably more likely one. But if they stay at 9-10, which is looking increasingly likely the way the rest of the West looks, grim is the outlook for the Lakers.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm not going to lie. I totally agree with you as far as just the outlook in general, health or not healthy, like one or two series max, and then maybe this team goes by the wayside, so to speak. But that being said, in an ideal situation, LeBron even said in his postgame interview that health is obviously their Achilles heel. It's the crux of the Lakers organization. It's always has and always will be their ability to stay healthy. that being said, if everything were perfect, it's an idealistic world for the Laker organization, Laker fans. What is your ideal lineup then? You know, Vanderbilt's healthy. Everybody's healthy. It's like the perfect world. You know, you're making those decisions. You're Rob Pelinka. Like, what is that idealistic roster starting five for you then?
Yeah, I mean, Grant's going to know what I'm going to say. Same with Arash. Jared Vanderbilt in the starting lineup, Rui as the sixth man. I know Rui was excellent in the playoffs, and that lineup was working in the playoffs, but I still like Reeves, Russell, Vanderbilt, because, you know, Vanderbilt has like 7'1" wingspan. And then Davis, you have him and Davis. That's just going to cause fits for opposing players. And Vanderbilt can guard the opposing team's best player. That's a guard. Davis obviously can't guard a guard. And LeBron James, right? So you have LeBron, Davis, Reeves, Russell, Vanderbilt. That's key. And then you have Gabe Vincent and Rui Hachimura off of the bench. You have some defense with Gabe Vincent, Cam Reddish. You know, you put in for defense. Torian Prince is losing, you know, my trust. I like Max Christie a little more right now, and it's because of his defense. He hits threes every once in a while, but I wish they would play Max Christie and Cam Reddish off of that bench unit with, you know, Rui and Gabe Vincent. If they're all fully healthy, I think that's the way to go.
All right. I've been waiting to.
Do you think that those guys could?
No.
Go ahead, Rush. I was just going to say, do you think that those guys can compete? Do you think that those guys can compete against an OKC, against a Denver, you know, come playoff time?
Not Denver, but everybody else, probably.
Yeah. All right, G-Hay.
Okay.
G-Hay, enough questions from you, because I have a question for you, because I know you're very passionate about this. It usually takes one big, high-profile, whether it's like an injury or something for people to start. I mean, court storming, field storming, but court storming in particular has been happening for decades, years and years and years. By the way, it used to happen back in the NBA finals. I mean, you look at those clips from back in like 1985 when the Celtics beat the Lakers, or 1988 when the Lakers beat the Pistons. Thankfully, they've stopped that not for whatever reason. We know, you know, college perhaps doesn't have the same security. All right, G-Hay. Court storming. I'm just going to put it to you on a silver platter there, following what happened recently. Your thoughts on court storming?
Well, I know it's going to be a shock because everybody thinks that, you know, I always love everything that the coaching staff says for Duke, but I don't agree with Shire. I do not believe the court storming, should be banned. I think that's ridiculous. I think that they're 19, 18, sometimes 17-year-old kids that are storming that court. What were you doing at 17 years old, you know, kind of situation? But that being said, I do think that the safety of the players, of the staff, of, you know, people that are on that court actually playing and coaching, that should be a priority prior to the court storming. Now, I'm going to say this. UConn fell, like, I want to say a week ago, to Creighton. And they stormed the court, and nobody got hurt. So they were also favored to win the game. So these guys kind of knew, the security staff knew, they're going to storm the court, we're going to win the game, whatever. Wake was actually favored to win the game against Duke. So with that being said, I think that what should happen, and I actually have something in place for this, what should happen is you need to bulk up that security, because you can actually like try to get, they enter from one way and one way only, right? They enter from the student section,
yeah.
On the baseline, normally in one area. That's where the students are going to come and bum rush the court. Now you make sure all these kids, staff included, they all say their goodbyes, they say their thing, and then they all exit formally. This happened in Creighton, and everybody was gravy. They were still able to storm the court, and nobody got hurt. This is on Wake Forest. This is not on anybody else, by the way. This is on whoever is hosting that game, which will never be Duke because we don't storm the court like that. But this is on the facility. This is on the organization. This is on the university. This is their responsibility. And that's something that should have been taken into consideration, considering you were favored to win the game. So for me, I don't want to ban court storming, but I do want the security to be beefed up. You could easily get more staff for this and allow it so like these kids can still celebrate a huge win against the number one seed team and against the number eight seed team, whatever. I'm all for it. It's totally fine. But the way that they handled it was terrible. God awful. I want to say there. I know that there was a fine induced, correct? There was like some kind of penalty induced, I think, to Wake about that, like financially. I mean, and if anything's going to kill anybody's pocket, it's going to be the money. So I think that they got a financial fine for that from the NCAA. But I don't know. I just, that would be my personal solution. Beef up the security. You're going to have, you could easily outsource and get a security team to help out in that regard and beef up the security so these kids don't bum rush, you know, a star player like like Kyle.
Yeah. Grant, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. My thing is that you can't get rid of court storming. You can't get rid of it. It's something that basketball and football, I mean, we love to see those kinds of things. Obviously, we don't want anyone to get hurt. Obviously, that's the number one concern. If it was me, I would do this. I would get a lot more security, like GA said, but I would also just escort the opposing players off the field immediately.
Yeah.
Off the court, off the field. Escort them off. As soon as that game ends, escort them off. Then have everyone storm the court or storm the field. Celebrate with your players, right? Don't, because whenever you bring fans that could have some alcohol in them, when they could have some rowdiness to them, it's very competitive in a lot of these games. You're going to have problems and hostility when you're playing an opposing team that you do not like or that you just upset, whatever the case may be. So getting the opposing team immediately off, and there should be a system in place. I know a lot more security would help that. Getting them off the court of the field is ideal because that's what causes most of these issues. It's never the case. Maybe sometimes, but it's never the case with the home team getting into any problems. No. It's always somebody running into a Duke player, somebody running into an opposing player on a football field. And that sparks the issue. Get them off the field and then celebrate with your home team on the, and I know that kind of defeats the purpose of court storming. It kind of defeats it because you're rushing while they're there and it kind of makes it more of a rage. But if you're looking at the main point of storming a field or a court, it's to celebrate your home team just doing something that usually never happens or that's something rare that happens. So that would be my thing to do, is just immediately get security to escort the coaching staff and the players off. And then, hey, go ahead, have fun. Maybe don't take down the field goal posts, but
especially when you know, especially if you know it's going to happen, right? Like, you know, those kids are going, like, they're prepping, like, I think the Alabama Auburn game, like, those kids are prepping and they are pushing themselves to come down onto the field once Auburn is about to beat Alabama. So, like, you know that they're coming.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. So bum rush them and get them out of there.
Yeah, I totally agree. GA, you brought up a really good point where certainly in basketball and football perhaps as well, you know, like, they're in just one section. So it's not like you have to guard 360 degrees. I mean, like, you're not worried about the old, you know, 60-year-old guy sitting courtside who is donating, you know, like, it's really the students. So, again, hopefully they can figure out the sweet spot there, because, again, I love the passion during COVID. Like, I just wish that we had those moments again, and we do. Just we have to find a way to do it safely. All right, the fact that we have Grant and Brandon here, I'm really stoked, because we have not had a chance to talk since Shohei Ohtani made his debut in spring training for the Dodgers. And I know on one hand, Brandt is thrilled. He's very excited to see Shohei Ohtani wearing the Dodger blue. Brandon, I think, kind of called this. I mean, he's much like Grant and GAR with the Clippers, I think, with the Angels. He saw this moment coming. So I'm going to start with Brandon here. You knew this day would come. They had the press conference, all that good stuff. But now you've seen Shohei Ohtani wearing the Dodger blue in spring training. First game in spring training, hits a home run. I know you're not surprised. Your thoughts on Shohei Ohtani with the Dodgers so far?
I mean, it's exactly what we thought. He just keeps doing the impossible, right? Home run, second at bat. I know everyone was going crazy. Oh, he struck out looking the first at bat. And, you know, and then you see what happens. And then Yamamoto striking that guy out in the splitter. it just seems, you know, 2020, 2024, it seems like, you know, or you could say the same thing about the Lakers, although we won't go there with the 2020, 2024 conspiracies about the teams winning. But the Dodgers do have a real chance to win this year. It's going to be about health on the pitching staff. They're not going to have Ohtani pitching. We know he's going to hit at a high level, though, and we're seeing that already. He could win the MVP just on his bat, straight up, this year.
Yeah, and I think I was just going to chime in. What I've seen from the Dodgers just in the first games from either of these guys, from both of these guys, it's exactly what I've expected. It's unreal to see Arash, to see both of these guys, Yamamoto and Ohtani, perform like this. I mean, Yamamoto yesterday went two innings against the defending champs, and they were without Corey Seager and a few guys, but it was against the defending champs, and he made big league hitters look silly. And there's a lot of questions about, will Yamamoto's pitches translate to the MLB? Will his arm translate to the MLB? The baseball is a little bit different from Japan. Well, it looked like his splitter looked pretty devastating, and it looked like his fastball was pretty hot coming in. I think it was 96, 97 coming in. So I have no concerns about either of these two guys. But, you know, as all Dodger fans know, even baseball fans know, even people that don't follow baseball, is that it matters in October, right? I can say all I want about the spring training debut of these guys and how great they look, and they do look great. Trust me, I am very excited. But it matters about the process. I hope these guys don't get too big-headed, and Mookie Betts mentioned this already. Every team that plays them is going to treat it like it's the World Series. So they're going to have a target on their back, but man, oh man, can Shohei Ohtani hit the baseball on Dodger Blue. That he hit a 3-2 fastball in on his hands. And I played the game. That's very, very hard to do. He hit a 3-2 fastball in on his hands to the opposite field for a home run. Dodger fans should get used to seeing things like that because he's been doing that for years. Brandon knows this. And for Yamamoto, I am very excited to see how he approaches major league hitters, how he looks over the course of a season. But from the debut, Arash, I mean, this just looks like it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Brandon, you touched on this. You know, you guys both played. I mean, like, it is very hard to do what Shohei did. I mean, it goes without saying. We've not seen a player do that to that degree, to that level, since Babe Ruth. In a season like this, where he doesn't have to pitch, he doesn't have to focus on that, like that is not a concern of his. And again, he's been such an amazing hitter, and you touched on he could win most valuable player just with his bat. How much better can he be now that he's just tunnel vision, focused on that? Not worried about pitching, just hitting.
I think even better. I think more consistency should be expected from Shohei Ohtani. Not to say he wasn't consistent last year. I mean, but we saw his incredible first half, and toward, you know, there were some slumps in the second half. That was because he was focusing a lot on pitching. This is before he got hurt. When they were still in the race, I think he had a 2-for-30 stretch or something to that level. Now we're not going to see that as much. We're going to see consistency, and he's protected in that lineup more so than he was with the Angels. So I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 50 home runs, you know, with a 310 average and 125 RBIs this year.
And one last thing for you, Brandon, before we close out. Are you surprised that Mike Trout is – listen, I mean, maybe he's doing it behind the scenes, but he has not publicly said, I want to be traded. I want to stay here. Brandon's smiling right now. Your thoughts on Mike Trout right now with the Angels?
I get it. I'm a very loyal person myself. Like, I'd want to be with the team that gave me a chance, that wanted to, you know, give me the opportunity. But they haven't done him any favors. He's got to put his career first. This is one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and he might never be in the playoffs ever again. We might have seen 3 games in him. Wow. So I think the Angels have to do it for him and should trade him, whether he wants it or not.
Real quick, Grant, what would you do? I mean, if you're, I don't know, like advising Mike Trout, I guess.
The Angels have to swallow their pride and let this guy be a playoff performer. I know that he can be. He has the talent still. I know he's declined a little bit with his injuries, but this guy, when he's healthy, is still a top 10 baseball player in the world. And I would love to see him on a playoff stage. Will the Angels be scrappy? Yes. Will they be a playoff contender? Probably not. So the Angels have to swallow their pride on their end. Don't worry about Mike Trout. Swallow the pride on your end. This guy committed to you. Now commit to him and try to do him right. That's what I got to say about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just such a you hope, again, that the team does right by him. And I would imagine behind the scenes, Mike Trout's probably having those conversations if this is not a playoff, at least contending roster. And it certainly doesn't look like it right now. All right, this was fun. You guys are the best. We got to get together soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.